This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, November 9th. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I've got the body of a high schooler.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Peter got porched or whatever it's called now.
And I'd like to say good evening to myself. I'd like to say good evening to Andrew, I should say.
We're all grown up now.
A meaningful moment on the program earlier.
All grown up.
Holy crap.
And what a weird, weird, random text to get from Michael during the commercial break.
Yeah, that was...
Don, you want to describe it?
All right, I like a lot of guys.
I get a text message from Michael. And it's a picture of Bill Belichick when he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to assume the first year with the Browns. And he's holding the football. He's got a Browns sweatshirt on. And underneath, Michael captions the picture, "Very underrated handsome." And he's right.
Am I right?
Now, but did that need to be sent to everyone? No. Could you have kept that to yourself? Absolutely.
I didn't send it out to people on Twitter. I sent it out to the five of us involved in the show. There's certain things that I want to tell you people that I can't say over the air, but you obviously have broken that covenant.
No, listen, everything is fair game. Okay. And it was so random. So random. The definition of random. That we had to share it with the world.
It was such a strange...
Just out of nowhere.
And also, I don't think so. He's not handsome. He's just a guy.
Don?
No, he's... I think Michael's statement was factual.
Look, smoldering.
Smoldering?
Yeah.
That's how hot he is. He's smoldering hot.
He's got the smolder look on his face.
He's got two Super Bowl rings at that point. Now he's got eight.
Right. Just think about that man. Had two Super Bowl rings as a defensive coordinator with the Giants and had his game plan for Super Bowl 25 in the Hall of Fame when that picture was taken.
That's right. Smoldering.
But that doesn't make – we're talking about his looks, Don. Don't be my
– No, but I'm saying –
He walks into any bar with those rings and that Super Bowl plan, he's coming out with action.
Well, but that's why we say underrated handsome, because everything football – jumps out at you. But what Michael's trying to say is, but he's still a good-looking guy. That should be part of the conversation, it's underrated.
No, the second you decide to completely give up on life at every moment possible physically, I don't think it's underrated handsome anymore. It's just you punted on that part of life. So, I mean, if a guy only wears cut-off sweatshirts...
That's now. I'm saying then.
Then. He's not saying now.
But no one was rating his looks then, even
with
his
coordinator
rings. Well,
you know what? I made it a conversation.
No,
thus, underrated. Underrated is the key word, what was texted out. Underrated.
I wish that Yes could find the... Maybe I'll send it to Greek.
Send it to Greek.
But so there are people walking down the street right now who are drop-dead gorgeous.
Lift it up and show it to me.
But they're not famous, so no one's talking about them. Are all of those people in the same category as underrated? Because no one cared about them. It made no difference one way or the other.
Thus, underrated
but
handsome.
So that means
what he's saying, of all the things you think about Bill Belichick, and you know everything about the guy, books have been written about the guy, Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest coaches of all time, the supposed failure in Cleveland. You know his history. All Michael's trying to say is, hey, I'm going to throw a little piece of information you never thought about before. Underrated handsome.
Thank you for having my back, Don.
Yeah, I'm not going to go here. He's just a guy with brown hair. That's it. He's just a guy. I don't understand how that could be underrated handsome, but Michael looks at me and thinks I'm hideous. We're just, both of us are just two generic guys with brown hair. Me with less of it, but a better looking face. No one's a model. Why did that stop Michael? That he goes,
because,
you know
you
what?
Know why? Because Bill Belichick, you are overrated. You have people calling in saying how handsome you are. You're overrated. If you are underrated, I'd say, yeah, not bad looking.
No. The only reason that would ever happen is because you badmouth me so much, and Rick has dedicated. Some would say that's the most defining part of Rick DiPietro's broadcasting career, is attacking my looks.
By the way, for those that care, Rick DiPietro back on ESPN, hockey coverage on Friday.
Wow.
What's he doing?
What? What'd you say, Don?
What is he doing?
He's doing their, pre and post, whatever.
By the way, we mentioned the Devils game tonight against the Panthers exclusively on ESPN+.
Only could be seen there.
That's right.
Interesting.
So did you guys see the ugliness between the Clippers and the Nuggets last night?
Underrated ugliness.
That's what makes them great. Let's hear the play-by-play from Altitude Sports in Denver.
Nuggets have 5-on-4, and Jokic, no! Keep the players on the bench. No.
Boy, I hope that was TV.
That was TV, okay. Altitude Sports, because I liked the call for TV. For radio, it would leave a little bit of information out. That was Jokic pushing Markieff Morris to the floor. Now, this is after Morris sort of tried to intentionally foul Jokic. Jokic took exception to it, and when Morris turned his back to continue to chase the play, Jokic comes up and just gives him an all-time shoulder shimmy to the back and sends Morris to the floor. Let's hear from Joker after the game on the incident.
Dear God, dear Shriad, it would be so fabulous to drop you.
That's not him.
It's a stupid play, I feel bad. I'm not supposed to react that way, but it's in the middle of the game. I got hit. I saw him, but I didn't even, I thought it was just going to be like a take foul, and he kind of bumped me, and I was like, that was a little bit like I think it was a dirty play, and then I just needed to protect myself. I felt it bad, and I'm not supposed to react that way.
Marcus Morris, Markieff's twin brother, tweeted late last night, 12:55 a.m. He wrote, "Waited till bro turned his back, SMH, noted, # when he hurt, I hurt, # hurtful, # it hurts, # you're hurting me." None of those hashtags were true, but okay. Waited till bro turned his back, SMH, noted. Now that got a response from Nikola's brother. In fact, it was from the Jokic brothers Twitter account, which has an egg as their icon, but 34,000 followers.
But I think it was created to respond. I don't think it existed 24 hours ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's from what I understand. I was listening to Greeny today, and the understanding was it was created for that response.
Oh, it's only following one person, and it appears to have only this tweet. You should live this way. It is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you. Jokic brothers. Marcus Morris responds, "You got the right ones. Believe that. Jokic brothers. I don't believe. I know."
I really would. If I was king of the world, every athlete would be forced off of Twitter.
But this is entertaining. This isn't a time for that. This is good stuff here.
Nah. It's not even the guys involved. It's their family.
He does.
Yeah, that's it right there. That's the audio. They post that audio, and you know what? I was going to make a joke about the Raiders player, but I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
I think my brother would have my back in that situation. I think he'd be all in.
Come on. He'd be all over it.
Yeah.
And he'd have that young lady wrestling star that he fights with to help you out, too.
Well, no, they hate each other. Why
no,
would
but she
Rosa?
Would help. She would help out.
You think in this case, in this case, Thunder Rosa would step up?
Yeah. Did Thunder Rosa beat up David yesterday?
And I don't know how much that they hate each other, but she did stay at his house. So,
well, yeah, but that was to get him upset. She was hanging out with his wife.
I know. So there's somebody in the family she likes.
another incredible night for Steph. Warriors go to 9-1. Steph Curry goes for 50, 14-28 from the floor, 9-19 from three. Here's what it sounded like.
Curry steps in, takes a teardrop, and he's got his 50. 121-99, 10th time Curry has scored 50 or more.
That's like play-by-play from 95.7, the game in the Bay.
It's like 2015 all over again, right? It's like
he's great.
But this is a throwback.
I got to tell you, it'll sort of like get hard if I don't have a dog in the fight, you know? Like, I'll root for, obviously, the Celtics first, and then the Wizards, of course. And then, if neither of them are in business, I'll be pulling for our New York people to get a championship.
Bing bong!
My fifth place option, though, after that, I would be pulling for Steph to pull it off again. Because, Don, at this point, as the years have gone by and the injuries have added up, it's just started to seem like they're too old now. Draymond's older. Everyone's older. There's no way. The fact that they have started off 9-1, that they're this good, and it's minus Clay, it's unreal.
It'd be so good for him to win a championship before KD, during KD, and then after KD. Now, I don't know if they can do it, but that would be something to root for, right?
Andrew, I'm going to bring in basketball expert Andrew Gundling and dedicated friend cuddler Andrew Gundling. Andrew, if they were to win another championship this year, and hold on, hear me out, and Steph gets MVP, where do you think Steph could end up in the all-time best to ever do it?
Top 10. I think he has a chance at top 10. Because he almost won MVP last year, and this is a title that really coming into the season we thought they could be good, but I don't know how many people really expected them to actually contend
for
a championship.
No one thought they were the number one seed in the West.
So I think certainly there's never been a player quite like him, which already puts him kind of in a category of his own, kind of like a one of one. But if he wins a title at 33, like you said, in a post-Durant era for that team, that's special. It's probably the most meaningful title that he could win.
Might be top five.
Oh, wow.
Well, but you said top 10, so what nine would be in a better situation?
What, all-time players?
We're talking all-time players.
Who are you taking out?
He's not ahead of the obvious, I would
Jordan,
say. Jordan, LeBron.
Jabbar, LeBron.
Russell.
Bird Magic.
Some people would say Bird Magic,
he's
Kareem.
He's not cracking that group, sorry. No. All
right. He's right outside of it, though. He'd be right there.
The problem is, with the titles he's won, he hasn't won a previous NBA Finals MVP. I think that, he's great, no question about it, but now you're comparing him against other greats, and stuff like that comes into play.
It's so hard to do that, but at what point do we start looking at the Chamberlains and the Russells and say, okay, let's just put them in a different category?
Never.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about way less teams.
So I'm going to eliminate Babe Ruth?
No. Well, we could have that conversation. But, you know, because there's a lot of things here to consider. Yes, but why not? You know, Ruth didn't face the best of the best. You won your league. You went right to the World Series. You didn't have all of these. You think the Yankees would have won all those championships if you had 30 teams and three rounds to go through?
Yes.
And traveling around the country?
I believe they would
have. And having to play African-American players?
Yes,
come on.
I believe so.
No, you can't. It's not fair. And, you know, and listen, Bill Russell, you think they're winning? You think he's winning 11 championships in the modern era? No, he's not.
With that talent, he would. They had
but
a great
they
team.
Didn't have the same team. It was a different world.
By
but I'm,
the
not,
way,
I'm not trying to take anything away, guys, but
yes,
let's just
are.
Be honest. We just can't just say, well, everything's even. Everything's not even. It's way harder to win a championship now than it was the 50, 60 years ago. Or in Ruth's case, 80 years ago.
But there was more of a concentration of talent on all those teams, too.
Yes and
like
no.
Like that Bill Russell faced. Now talent's more spread out, so when you have a super team, they do roll. Back then, every team was a super team.
How about this? Can they just take away that Finals MVP that they gave Andre Iguodala? Because why does it really do? Come on.
It just gets in the way.
Like, he's a great player. Andre Iguodala's had a fantastic career. He's successful with his business investments, and he had a great series. But just give Steph one of those MVPs. Enough is enough.
What in the world am I doing?
Yeah, I understand. So, Also, if you guys haven't seen, do you guys happen to see the Karl Anthony Towns shot that forced overtime last
night? Oh, I did. I did.
Oh, my God. Don, you seen it?
I'm going to go look now.
Oh, you, what are you doing all day?
What am I doing all day? Checking out NBA shots?
No, because you're having tuna fish by the pool, and you could be looking at highlights and stuff
like that.
What were you doing then?
Well, I was preparing for things I thought we were going to discuss on the show.
One of the most unbelievable shots. You had no thought of looking at it.
I called an unbelievable goal by Connor McDavid. I knew you wouldn't have seen it, so I texted it out to you. It was that great. Why didn't you text it out to me?
I tell you one thing? I saw that well before you, because I do prep on the show. You're sitting there eating a tuna fish sandwich on a bagel. Probably with some of it dripping onto your goatee. Disgusting. Probably still hard.
Excuse me?
We need that.
Can we?
For the darky and Andrew.
Can we? do we have?
I'm going to get jumped for this? Come on. That's not right.
How do you not see that shot?
I have your back, Don. Did you call the McDavid goal on Friday?
Yes.
Do we have audio of that?
But you never sent your call. I saw the call.
I don't know how to do it.
I want to.
You don't know how to do the call? That's your job.
No, I don't know how to send it out. Well, people were asking me for it on Twitter, but I just didn't know how to do it.
You know what, Michael? We have a treat for everyone. This is literally one of the greatest goals I've ever seen scored, and it tied the game for the Oilers to force overtime. Right, Donnie?
Yes.
Let's hear Don's call from Friday night.
Oilers trying to tag back up with 3 minutes to go. McDavid trying to do it all himself. Goes all the way out. Backhand score. What an individual effort by Connor McDavid. Went through a sea of Rangers and backhands it for a 5-5 tie.
You know what he did there? It shows you his brilliance, Peter. It was a brilliant play by McDavid. But he knows that the people that are listening to him are Ranger fans. They're unhappy when the goal is scored.
Yeah.
So he doesn't luxuriate in the goal. He doesn't hit a sea like I would. He just, like, he calls it and shows you how great it was, but he didn't go over the top.
No, he didn't luxuriate. He lets you know it was a really good goal, but I'm guessing the call in Edmonton sounded even more intense. That's true. He's a professional.
My guy, Jack Michaels.
What was that?
My guy, Jack Michaels. He's the voice of the Oilers.
He's a screamer, right?
Oh, yeah. The Oilers Radio Network.
I got to tell you, he's
probably still hard.
Thank you for playing that again. I didn't think you would. He's really, really special. He's
who, McDavid or Jack Michaels?
McDavid. Well, Jack Michaels is special in his own way, but Connor McDavid actually may have more talent than anybody that's ever played this sport.
More than Wayne Gretzky.
But here's the thing: does he have the vision? Like Wayne anticipated better. He put himself in situation. He was never the fastest player. He was never the strongest player. He just was so much smarter than everybody else. He just knew where the puck was going to go before the puck knew.
So how long before McDavid has to get out of Edmonton because they can't afford him?
Well, they just gave him a long contract. No, he's going to be there for a long time. This Edmonton team might win the cup. They're loaded. I'm going to look at the Anthony Towns. Stand by.
You should have been doing that at the pool today.
Wait, how am I supposed to look up something I didn't know happened? But don't question my prep. I was prepping.
I don't know if you were.
This isn't right. I don't like the attack. I don't like the attack on my guy Don here. He can only do so much. It's hard to eat tuna fish and watch highlights at the same time. Let's go back to last night. Cassius Marsh. Sacks Ben Roethlisberger to force a punt seemingly. Celebrates. Gets called for taunting. A lot of people upset with Tony Corrente's call. Here's Marsh after the game.
I think it's pretty clear to everybody who saw it that I wasn't taunting. And, I've been doing the celebration my whole career, and, it's just sad to see stuff like that happen in a close game like that. It's just rough, man. I don't want to say too much because y'all know how it is. But the one thing that I will say is, on my way to the sideline, I got hip checked by the ref, and it's pretty clear. If I were to do that to a ref or even touch the ref, we get kicked out of the game and possibly suspended and fined. So I just think that was incredibly inappropriate, and that's all I'll say about that.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, hold on.
He didn't hip check him.
Hold on. I let me just clear up a couple things. Corrente gave a statement saying that the penalty, the taunting, was called because he gestured towards the Pittsburgh bench.
Oh, give me a break.
That's what he says the call was.
But now, Michael, you know that Mike Tomlin is supporting the call. He said, we're just trying to clean our game up. He's a member of the NFL's competition committee. We embrace the responsibility that comes with being the role models that we are. The game being played at the highest level, we understand that people who play at a lower level watch us and often mimic the things we do and how we conduct ourselves. And just largely as a league competition committee, specifically, there was a desire to improve in that area. That's been expressed to our guys.
You know what, Michael? Guess what? How about this? You're not going to believe me at first. He did hip check him.
Oh, stop it.
I'm dead serious. Don.
Don,
watch it again. Now with the perspective of the player saying that he was hip-checked. It wasn't something you thought about the first time. But watch it again, and I actually believe he did hip-check him.
Here, again, I don't know intent, but the contact was initiated by the official.
Okay.
All but right, was it so a hip-check, Donald?
Do I think he meant to hit him, but he initiated contact? There was contact because of the official, not because of Marsh. And the other thing, too, is that gesturing to the sideline. Well, how far away from the sidelines could you be? It was in the middle of the field. I can understand if you ran to the Steelers' sideline, pointed at him. He celebrated. We got to stop. And you know what? Tomlin's opinion doesn't mean anything. He benefited from the call. I mean, come on. This was not an issue, people. Get off my lawn. This is the ultimate get off my lawn. The NFL was chugging along just fine. And people like John Mara had to say, I'm a little upset. We got to change this. Who said that? What phone call did we ever get saying they're celebrating too much? And then yet, I have to see, after you're down three touchdowns and you recover a fumble that fell into your lap, 11 guys got to run to the end zone and pose for a fake picture. Oh, that's okay. But a guy actually sacks Roethlisberger in a third and long. The Bears are going to get the ball back with a chance to win the game. God forbid the guy celebrates and is excited. He gets a 15-yard penalty.
Let's hear from our friend Ryan Clark discussing the taunting rule on NFL Live earlier.
I think you can't make this call subjective. If there's going to be certain rules or certain things that are officiated in this, they need to be definitive. I need to know that I can't stare at people. I need to know that I can't flex my muscles. I need to know that what I've worked my entire life to do, the thing that I've stayed up from 5 in the morning till midnight every single night, the thing that I've gotten therapy and needles stuck from my neck to my ankles, the reason I've been in cold tubs and hot tubs every single morning, and the reason I've ran through film 80 million times was because so I can make that one play. And you mean to tell me on that one play, I gotta calm all that down that went into this because somebody who can't do what I do, who ain't never done what I done, and don't know what this feeling is like, gets offended by it? And I wish I freaking would.
Good problem.
I don't think that's fair, though. I mean, so they're gonna have ex-players be the officials? I'm sorry, those are the people that are making these decisions play.
No, they're just saying it shouldn't be subjective. Judging the celebrations this subjectively is silly.
And also, Michael, you even said that even calls, like certain times of the game, maybe you let things go in overtime, you're late in the game. It's late in the game in the fourth quarter, all right? It's third and long. The Bears are going to get the ball back. That's the moment you're going to give a team an automatic first down off of that? Now, it didn't matter because the Bears ended up taking the lead anyway, but at that particular point, that could have cost them the game. Is that right? That little indiscretion, even if it was, should cost the Bears the game?
And it could have.
It's fourth and forever, and they're going to get an automatic first down. For that? Come on.
We have more to do, including a This Day in History, where you will hear the voice of a dear friend of ours on a classic. Come on, Anthony. Come on, man. Honor the tease. That and so much more next on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen ice.
Ice Picks. Ice Picks. Ice Picks. Ice Picks.
I was kind of perusing around my BetMGM app here, and I noticed a nice little parlay that I think could be fun for people to pick. I like the Panthers tonight in New Jersey against the Devils. Panthers did play last night, but had a great third period. Only one regulation loss all year. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row. So I can get the Panthers on the money line with a plus seven goals in the game. Devils' first game home after a long Western swing at plus 240. So I like that. So I'm going to go Panthers win 7+ on the over-under at plus 240 as my ice pick tonight. Have fun with that.
Wow, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
And I was going to say, I did see the shot. Whatever. I love the jersey, though. I might go get it.
6 hours after you should have, but.
The shot was whatever for you?
No, the jersey was just everything.
Oh, you're saying it's not that the shot was whatever, it's that you love the jersey.
I'm
going to
go purchase the jersey and put it right alongside my Russell Wilson jersey.
Just,
somebody's making too much money.
Too much money, Michael, or just enough?
Well,
if I'm
making
too much
money on a Russell
Wilson
jersey.
Jail.
Excuse me?
If I'm making too much money.
You don't know what I make it out of my pocket.
Wait,
but you got in his pocket first.
Yeah, and Michael likes to get in my pocket and then take money out.
I don't want to take it out. I'm trying to put it back in. Buying a Russell Wilson jersey? You're 61 years old.
I'm 53.
It's unbelievable how he says it with such conviction. And you hear the morons, all due respect, that listen to this show. Some of them earlier hear Michael praise Pat McAfee and run to Twitter to say that he's attacked him. So when someone says, Don, that you're 61 years old, they never hear that a second later we say, no, you're 53.
Right.
He just added 8 years to your life.
And also, and we joke about Russell Wilson being a little awkward, but if... if years from now, you know, Marco and Jalen get left a Russell Wilson jersey, they're going to know who that is, and he's a good guy.
Well, what are they going to do with it, though?
I don't know. Maybe they'll set fire to it. Maybe they'll throw it out. I don't know.
Well, God, a lot would have to go wrong over the next 10, 15 years for them to set fire to it.
My dad left me a Bobby Lane jersey. Would I be thrilled about it, or would I throw it out?
You're 61 years old.
I'm 53. Would I towel off with it? I think I'd appreciate it, and I think they will.
This is a random headline that came down the pike today.
I'm definitely buying the jersey right now.
Former Brooklyn Net Deron Williams.
This is crazy.
Is fighting former running back and all-time great Frank Gore of the NFL.
Frank Gore is going to tear him apart.
It's a 215-pound bout scheduled for four rounds, December 18th. It's on the undercard of that Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury, Tyson Fury's brother. So on paper, when you just picture these two guys who both of us can easily picture, I mean, listen, boxing is a weird sport. Who knows? But, yeah, to Michael's point, you can't picture Frank Gore losing.
By the way, of the 200 and like whatever shows we've done on Center Stage, the Deron Williams show is a rough one.
Really? Well, first of all,
he didn't really bring it.
And by the way, you mentioned bookings that Don and I deserve more than the guest. Deron Williams. I don't hear you mention Deron Williams because that one is.
Well, I mean, but there's also politics involved. You know, he was a star member of the Nets there.
There you go. Thank you for admitting it.
Not walking through.
Also, I've got a question for you, Peter.
In the air?
If you're a parent and you name your first son Tyson, how do you come back with something so pedestrian as Tommy?
Yeah, it's like they didn't even have an interest in him. and by the way, Tyson Fury is named after Mike Tyson. He goes on to become heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, you realize how incredible that is? You're named after the heavyweight champion, and you actually go on to do that?
Fury is named after Tommy Morrison. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, no, it's funny you say that. That's actually not true. He was named after legendary record executive Tommy Mottola, was a complete failure in the record business, and so he ended up going to fight it.
But don't let Michael up on what he said.
Which one?
That Williams was on Center Stage because of the relationship the Nets have with Yes.
Yep.
Well, what relationship do we have?
We have
we're
none.
Not on the Yes Network?
Apparently
I bet
not,
you anything.
You're not
anything.
You're not getting over any guardrails. You're just
that
not,
are,
not me.
That are... numbers on this show right now today.
Yes.
were better than any numbers the Nets did when Williams was on the team.
Well, I don't know about that.
Come on. They love the show. Eat it up. Eat it up with a spoon.
Listen, I'll just say this. So our numbers would be better than
Darren's. You can't
have a nice
little center stage at the lowest weight in 4 years and interview Peter and I on our careers and what we mean to New York sports. We wouldn't do a number?
I don't think a lot of people would care, and a lot of people wouldn't care.
You, Michael, you really don't think that we would draw more than the Darren Williams episode?
I'll have to look back at the numbers for D. Williams.
We'll do it. That's right there. Greg will find them. Greg will get it.
You know, that's upsetting to hear you say that because I think we'd do well. Now, speaking of boxing, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention real boxing. Over the weekend, the pound-for-pound best in the world became the undisputed best in his weight class. Canelo Alvarez knocks out Caleb Plant in the 11th, and now the pound-for-pound best in the world is the undisputed super middleweight champion. 57-1-2, the one loss that's sitting on his record, of course, is many years ago now to Floyd Mayweather. But actually, you know what? Let's hear the call. It's actually a pretty fantastic call, if I recall. Let's hear the call of Canelo getting the win.
Vicious shots to the body, and the plan is not to say, oh, he just got hurt.
That was a good call.
Mauro Ranallo on the call on Showtime. Good call. Mexico's first undisputed champion?
Really? Undisputed, the four belts, because they keep adding governing bodies.
Yeah.
Stop.
Good point, Michael.
Thank you.
Guess who's not into the 17-game season?
Who?
Mr. Thomas Brady. He was hanging out with his best pal, Jim Gray, and Larry Fitzgerald on Tom's podcast.
The whole Gray-Brady relationship really bothers you. It irks you.
No, it doesn't. You're the one who made me curious about it. By the way, that is the name of my 9th book.
It irks me?
No, Gray-Brady.
It is almost on the Michael DiPietro level. Like, I don't get it.
Yes, absolutely it is. On the 17th game, Brady said, quote, "I think it's pointless. I thought it was a terrible decision, so I don't like the fact that we're playing a 17th game at all. I think 16 is plenty, and again, you're 8 games into a year, and you're not halfway through, so that's kind of a little frustrating. So, whatever. I mean, we'll play it."
The guy plays 23 games a year. Relax.
Yeah, what's the difference for you? Honestly, pal. You're playing. Lastly, guys, on this day, all the way back in 2006...
Rahm under center, takes the snap, drops back.
Yes!
He is sacked!
Yes!
And the Scarlet Knights win it! There is pandemonium in Piscataway! Rutgers has knocked off number 3 Louisville, 28-25, and they are going insane!
Yeah, it's not happening this year.
15 years ago today. Mm. The great
Love
Chris
that,
Carlin.
Man. Love yeah. that, man.
That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
And Chris Carlin joins us next as we take you till 7 o'clock right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.